From WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, North Carolina, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. New Hanover County's Board of Commissioners has three open seats. One of the commissioners with an expiring term, Republican Beth Dawson, lost the March primary and is not on the November ballot. That leaves two incumbents, one Republican, Woody White, and one Democrat, Jonathan Barfield, fighting to keep their seats. While registered Democrats outnumber Republicans in the county by one percentage point at 33%, unaffiliated voters are the largest bloc, making up 34% of voters in the county. But it's still a fairly even three-way split. Republicans come in at 32%. Each of the three Republican candidates will talk one-on-one with me today, answering my questions and yours. There are two ways to get your question in during the live Wednesday edition. You can email us at coastline@whqr.org or give us a call at 910-343-1138. The phone lines are now open. Today's candidates are in reverse alphabetical order. We begin with Woody White, a lawyer and former North Carolina senator who served out the remainder of Patrick Ballantyne's term after Ballantyne stepped away to run for governor in 2004. Woody White is completing his first four-year term as a county commissioner, and he is seeking a second. During this first term, he served as chairman of the board for 2 years. Woody White, welcome to Coastline.
Hi, Rachel. Thanks for having me.
You waited quite late before you finally announced your candidacy. On your campaign website, you say that the decision was a difficult one. Where was the difficulty in this decision for you?
Well, for me, I can only speak for myself, of course, but my experience has been very rewarding in many ways. I feel like we've accomplished a lot of things, and we certainly always stood up for what I felt was right and asked the tough questions and taken positions that maybe sometimes weren't popular. But when it boils right down to it, you know, the things that come first for me are my family and my business, and this was a huge sacrifice. And Tammy and I talked about this for a long, long time. I tell you, nobody expects to serve in these offices and get attaboys and thank yous and pats on the back. And I certainly don't ever expect that from people that I see in the community. But you also expect the negativity not to be as sometimes in your face as it can be. And, you know, I don't know why other people run for county commission. I guess for me, it wasn't to be somebody. I don't have to be a county commissioner. I'm very blessed and successful in other ways. And I just felt like it was something that was necessary to have some steady leadership on there and to someone that can see both sides of an issue and be open-minded. But on the personal side, sometimes it takes a toll. It's a real sacrifice. But we did decide to try it again because we have some things that I want to accomplish and some real goals and a vision for this county.
Do you think another run for Congress is in your future?
Oh, boy, I didn't expect that question. You know, I'm 47. My kids are in high school. I work very hard at my law firm representing people, and I don't know what the future holds. I certainly don't expect that any time in the next 4 years. I think the way that the districts are drawn and the folks serving in them now is something that's going to stay for a while. And I tell you what, I don't relish the idea of going through that and taking on Washington again because, you know, Trump's right about one thing. It's a rigged system. And I watched firsthand how the folks that pull the levers up there came down here and picked that seat up for somebody that was going to support the establishment.
You're talking about David Rouser.
Yeah, and David's doing a good job for us. And then obviously I'm proud to support him as a fellow Republican. But in the context of that campaign, it was a rigged system. They knew Woody White wasn't going to go up there and vote for the failed leadership, and he was. And now lots of things have changed since then, and Boehner's gone, and we could talk about that for an hour. But it was an incredible eye-opening experience.
Well, let's get to what is probably the single most controversial issue in the county and probably the most watched issue and the most just about every question that we've gotten from listeners via email so far has touched on this in one way or another. And that is the special use permit. The business community, environmental advocates,
county staff, the planning board, all these different sectors of the community seem to have their own ideas about how this is supposed to go. There was one point, Woody White, when you pledged to eliminate the special use permit. The Garner report identified the SUP as one of the blocks to economic growth. Where do you stand on that issue now? Is this something that you want? How do you want to see this develop or evaporate?
Let me start by a qualifying comment, and I might get accused of saying, well, that's just political speak, but listen to the words. We have to have a real balance in this community, more really than anywhere else in the state, between business and economic development and protecting our natural environment, our water and air quality. Well, what does that mean? The key thing is the balance, because when you use the word balance, you can visualize a fulcrum on which a seesaw. There are so many interests on both sides, and if you let one side take over and the seesaw goes far over to the one side or the other, then it's not in the best interest of the community. And right now what we have is an unbalanced process. We have a process that's not transparent, that's not certain for someone trying to bring a job or a business here, or for the community for that matter.
It's subjective. There's no telling how long this process will take or if somebody will come out a winner or a loser in the end. And everybody agrees on that point. But do you think that to get back on the site selector lists, the county should eliminate that special use permit?
I believed that before. I think now most folks understand that it is a good tool to have in our toolbox. I would not support an outright repeal of it. I would unequivocally support looking at it and making it better, which is what we tried to do a couple of years ago. What troubles me right now is that we're having political pressure brought by some of our commissioners onto the planning board to try to do this right now, in the midst of an election season when everyone else is paying attention to the national and the state elections and going back to school. No one is really engaged in this process. And so I'm thankful that the planning board has decided wisely to step back, and I want to keep my eyes on the rest of the commission to make sure that we don't take this up in a political election environment.
So you're saying that this would be better taken up again after the November 8th
Absolutely.
Election?
Absolutely. Because one of two things are going to happen. We do know one commissioner is a lame duck right now, and the voters have rejected her. And so in December, there's either going to be a team, I think, of Woody White, Patricia Cusick, and Skip Watkins, or some of the Democrats, one or the other. But whatever it is, it's going to reflect the will of the local people.
Well, you're talking about getting a majority on the board, and that's one way to get things done. What if it didn't work out that way? And what if there wound up being a Democratic majority on the board? You're part of that board. How do you then approach policymaking?
You would like to think that the special use permit particularly is not partisan. It doesn't really matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. However, it's kind of become a pro-business, anti-business thing, and I don't know why. I know in the Garner process, before he made his recommendations, it was very important to me and to the mayor. In fact, the mayor and I were recommended to be the co-chairs of that. And I said, Bill, you know, why don't we ask the university and the community college guys. Now, looking back on that, maybe that was the wrong decision because of those folks, but we thought it would be better for academia to kind of push that forward, not politicians. And Garner report came out and said we need to repeal it. I think the takeaway was it recognized that there is an imbalance right now. And we have a duty, Rachel, not just to continue to recruit the Castle Branches and Live Oaks and expanding GE and Corning and all these great, great clean industry jobs, but we have a duty to people graduating from the community college that need manufacturing and industry to make $12, $14, $16 an hour. Those are great wages. And if we forget that, and if we refuse to try to focus on attracting and retaining those types of jobs, people are going to move, and we're left with a service and a retirement community, and that's a devastating combination for a vibrant community like this.
We have an email from Dr. Parr who asks, do you support the provision of a community meeting before the planning board and county commission meetings that would consider any industrial special use permit?
I've emailed and communicated with Dr. Parr on at least one other occasion in recent weeks, and I think he knows where I stand on that. What I will say is that I think the more information the community can have is always better. But in the past, we've seen information be misconstrued, false, misleading, and so, you know, I think we just simply need a process that's fair to everyone, whether you're for something or against it, and that recognizes that site selectors need to know and advise their clients that, hey, New Hanover County is open for business. We want the right growth here. We want the right industries here. But we can't all get Google and Apple. Everybody in the country is recruiting for those types of jobs. We want them too. But we also need to be diverse in what we offer the local labor force.
Mary writes, I attended a September 6th Board of Commissioners meeting and witnessed firsthand the frustration of the board when presented with last-minute, thick-page, detailed studies for the passing of an applicant's permit for business in New Hanover County. Do you support a proposed clarifying pre-checklist for applicants in the future? And do you support mandatory community information meetings for heavy industry applicants prior to review by the Planning Board?
Well, I think I've communicated with her as well. It sounds like to me that some of the interested parties have sent you some few emails trying to stake us out. I'll just repeat what I've said. I support a very balanced and open process, but one that is not geared towards repelling job creation and job growth. And we know that the present special use permit is doing damage to our local economy, and we need to revise it.
The county passed a budget with a tax increase this past June. You were very vocal about your opposition to that increase and that version of the budget. As explained by the county staff, that tax increase was largely to pay off old debt going back as far as 10 years. If you didn't have to build consensus and you could have just written your own budget and said, this is the budget that we're going with, what would that have looked like? How would you have managed a new budget without that increase?
Well, you've got to go back about 3 years. You can't do it in 1 year. You would have, and I've been very specific to staff about this. One of the facts that you can't overlook is in the last 40 months or so, our revenue collections have increased over $27 million. I mean, that's almost 10% sales property organically, not with tax raises, before tax raises. Mm-hmm. Our failures have been not to live within that organic growth and not to budget and plan accordingly. We didn't wake up one day and realize, oh my gosh, we have all this debt. It's basic cash management. We put into place debt management policies and fiscal priorities. My first couple of months as chair, it was very important to me when I was elected and part of my first term, and we did that. Let's look back on it now. Are we keeping too much of the citizens' cash? So that would have been one way.
So you're talking about then using
the
fund balance.
Correct. Savings account.
And this fund balance is what allows the county to have a AAA bond rating.
That's right. And I was the one that pushed for that. It was my.
So then why would you spend it down?
Well, because the bond rating companies and bond council will tell you that we get reviewed every 2 years. We've never missed a payment. We've never been downgraded. We have an impeccable credit rating, one of 75 counties out of 3,200 in the country. We have a good track record. Managing our cash to not go borrow more money, because a credit rating, Rachel, is only necessary. It's only important if you are borrowing money.
But the things
if we're moving more
for
towards a cash and a pay-go system, then it doesn't really matter
right.
about the debt market.
And that sounds really good.
Right?
I mean, theoretically, that sounds like a really smart, responsible way to manage one's money. But the things that we borrowed for were the school system, the public school system, which is overcrowded and falling apart.
It's true.
And there's no question that there's a need there.
All I was saying and will always continue to say is you look out over the last 20 years of our county growth, our population has increased 62% and our debt has increased 750%. It's out of whack, and you can't sustain that level of per capita debt per citizen much longer. And you can't change this in one budget cycle. I've never suggested that. But you can methodically go through it. Buncombe County, they don't have debts for schools. Did you know that? Because someone 30 years ago said, we're not going to do it that way. All I'm saying is that let's look over the next 20 and 30 years and say, let's try to slowly turn this battleship a little bit more. We're always going to be in the debt market. That's fiscally responsible, too, to borrow money at very low interest rates and invest in our community. But we didn't need $22 million of new tax dollars. And staff believe we did, and they were wrong. Our debt service, Rachel, was going up about $3 million. Our debt service, the cash we had to use to pay our Visa card, so to speak, was not going up $22 million. It was going up about $3
million. But we're talking about old debt, though, really old debt.
That's right, that we had managed up till now without a tax increase.
So if you're sitting then in that seat the next time the budget session comes up, how are you going to handle that? And are there things that we could cut now?
There are a lot of things we can cut now. Welfare expansion that we've done, we could have better projections of ourselves and property tax growth that we know is occurring.
Because this last projection was a little
optimistic. That's right. Well, it was on one and it wasn't on the other. It's been consistently underreported the last 4 or 5 years. Moving to a per-pupil funding model for schools results in a huge, huge increase with no identified project or classroom. It's just there are a lot of things that we can do to manage our cash better.
You're listening to Coastline's Candidate Interviews. Today we're meeting the Republican candidates for New Hanover County's Board of Commissioners. Woody White, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Rachel, for having me.
When we come back from the break, we'll meet Patricia Kusek, and we're taking your questions. You can email them to coastline@whqr.org or give us a call at 910-343-1138. The phone lines are open. You're listening to Coastline. Listening to Coastline's Candidate Interviews. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. The focus this month is, of course, on meeting the candidates you'll be choosing in November. And today we're meeting the three Republican candidates for New Hanover County's Board of Commissioners. Patricia Kusek has been a member of the Cape Fear Public Utility Board and has served as its chair for the past 2 years. She has also served on the New Hanover County Commission for Women, Cape Fear Hospice Board, UNCW Cameron School of Business Executive Advisory Board, and Cape Fear Chapter of the American Heart Association as the Heart Ball Chair in 2012. Patricia Kusek, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you for having me, Rachel.
And we're taking your questions. You can email us today at coastline@whqr.org or give us a call at 910-343-1138. Patricia Kusek, I want to start with a remark that you made when we spoke before the March primary. Months ago, we were talking about the county travel policy, and you said something that I think captured the community conversation for several weeks or months after that, and that was, if you are elected as a county commissioner, you said you would not get reimbursed for travel expenses even when doing the county's business. Do you stand by that statement, or has your thinking changed on that?
Well, certainly I stand by what I said during the primary election.
And how one of the issues that came up around that was, it's great that you can afford to do that. Do you think that all county commissioners should take on that expense?
I think that we should have a travel policy for the commissioners that mirrors what we have for our county employees. And I think it's a personal decision whether a county commissioner decides that they want to apply for reimbursement and how much they travel, or to take that that payment out of their own pocket. I think that's a personal decision.
We've had a lot of questions, in fact, almost exclusively questions about the special use permit from our listeners. And this is something that's come up lately. The Planning Board recently met, and at the end of their meeting, as the Greater Wilmington Business Journal reported, they essentially said, we are not at a point when we can recommend any version of a special use permit to the Board of Commissioners. Do you think this is something that should be discussed now, or should it be put off until after the November 8th election?
Well, the special use permit is a very complicated issue. I attended as an observer the work session that was held several weeks ago and the public hearing that you were referring to last week. With the county having recently unanimously adopted a comprehensive plan, that sets the stage for the county for us to be prepared for the next 30 to 40 years for development and growth in the county. A consultant has been hired and is in the process of doing a total overhaul of all the development ordinance and zoning ordinances, and that's in great need of updating. That hasn't been updated since the 1970s. And I think it's prudent for us to evaluate all of our development ordinances and zoning districts first and then drill down into the other sections. From a public policy standpoint, we need to follow through with that comprehensive plan and fulfill its vision, updating the ordinances, of which one, of course, is the special use permit. We need a good balance of between economic development and job creation in the manufacturing sector and the protection of all our environmental assets.
Well, how do you do both of those things? With the special use permit, we hear a lot of people say we part of this region's assets, but one component of that portfolio is the environmental component, which contributes to the tourism industry. And then we hear other people say the SUP is nothing more than a block to growth because we're not on the site selectors list, and the Gartner report identified the SUP as a block to growth. Is it? Should it go away?
We have to strike that balance, okay, between having adequate jobs for all and so that we don't have our unemployment and crime rates rise and have to spend more tax money on those areas. The county lost between 2002 and 2012 nearly 2,000 manufacturing jobs, or 26% of its manufacturing base. We have to create a favorable climate to attract business and industry. And while we realize that tourism and our wonderful region is one component of that, we have to have a diversified economy, because we saw in the downturn of 2008, 9, and 10 when people's discretionary money was tight, then the tourism area suffered for that, because that was the discretionary money was not there. So we would be wise as a community to look at a whole diversified economy so that we can weather the ups and downs of economic cycles, which we know will come in the future.
So you're saying you're not sure if the SUP at this point should go away?
I'm not saying that. I think it needs to be looked at as part of the overall zoning ordinances, as they're looked at, drilled down into through thoughtful community engagement, and that is going to be a time-consuming process, I believe, is the right path to follow. Whatever changes are made, they need to add certainty and predictability to it.
And we have an email. I asked Woody White about this previously. Dr. Parr asks, do you support the provision of a community meeting before the Planning Board and County Commission meetings that would consider any industrial special use permit?
From my observation and from living in the county for 16 years, I believe that it is prudent always to have the all of the stakeholders, of which every citizen in New Hanover County is, involved. As long as we look at, we provide forums for our citizens to get involved. I certainly heard in the meeting that day, in both of those meetings, that there was, I didn't hear pushback from any group on either side for community input.
The Gartner report, presented a couple of years ago to the county, and I've referred to that already a couple of times, was positioned as partly an analysis to New Hanover County's blocks to economic growth, as well as a roadmap. It offered recommendations, and one of those recommendations being, we recognize that there probably isn't the political will for this, but the SUP should go away. But when you talk about economic growth, what does that look like in a county the size of New Hanover. It's geographically a very small county. Is there a such thing as too much development in a place like this?
Well, as with anything, you have to look at development as there has to be a middle ground. That's the whole issue with so many things that we're facing. And again, providing for diverse business and industry backgrounds, so not only to continue to support tourism and the wonderful reasons that people come to this area, both to vacation and then ultimately to live, but also brick and mortar plants that make widgets. I think it seems to me like the polarizing issue comes is that the two sides, if you will, have been seen as either, well, we either going to have tourism or we're going to have smokestacks. And there's a lot of room in the middle for that. And again, that's what this is all about. If we all don't work together, then nothing works.
You're listening to Coastlines Candidate Interviews. Today, we're meeting the Republican candidates for New Hanover County's Board of Commissioners. Right now, we're talking with Patricia Kusek, a financial advisor and current board member of the Cape Fear Public Utility Authority. She is seeking her first term on the Board of County Commissioners. We have a question from Martha, and if you're listening, you can give us a call at 910-343-1138. We will take your questions live on this Wednesday. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. And Martha from Southport asks, to balance the budget, would you cut welfare benefits? And if so, what aspects of welfare would you cut?
The budgeting process is difficult. And we, as we just saw, we had a tax increase, and tax increases are not popular in any vein. We have to create an environment where we expand our tax base. And again, this gets back to having more business and industry here so that we can expand our tax base so that we don't have to cut programs.
So you're saying in an ideal world, you wouldn't cut anything from the budget?
In an ideal world, we would be looking at an expanding tax base so that we are able to keep our schools in good shape and to keep our citizens safe, and that is part of what the county is charged with doing.
If you are elected to the county board and two other Democrats are elected, so you're in a political minority, how will you navigate that? People have observed that there's been a noticeable amount of divisiveness on the board over the last several years, and it seems to have fallen along partisan lines. That hasn't always been the case with the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners. How would you work with people who are not in the same political party that you're in?
Well, I think part of it has to do with how you conduct yourself on a day-to-day basis, okay, prior to even, you know, getting in the political arena. It's about treating people the way you want to be treated, and it's about doing the right thing and doing what you say you're going to do. And I've had the opportunity in working on the Cape Fear Public Utility Authority to work with both Democrats and Republicans, and doing it still today. And just because somebody has a D or an R by their name does not mean that they're not logical and reasonable and don't have good ideas as well. And again, just like I said before, we have to work together. Nothing works if we don't work together.
We have a question from Carolyn. She asks, where are the children going to school, and how will the sewer and water be expanded to accommodate all of the new developments on River Road? None of the developments are affordable, and the apartment developments I see going up on Carolina Beach Road and adjacent areas have the word luxury somewhere in their advertisements. Where are people in the service industry supposed to live? Asking about affordable housing.
Okay, affordable housing. And I do know that our development community and the things that I have seen come before the commission for approval and the city council as well are with a large focus on having affordable housing. It's not all luxury, to use her quote. And we realize as potential governing officials in this community that is something that we do need to address. Absolutely.
You're listening to Coastlines Candidate Interviews. If you have a question for Patricia Kusek, now's the time to call 910 343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. The Gartner Report also identified a lack of cooperation among the various economic development agencies in this region. Since the presentation of this report in 2014, do you think cooperation has improved? Is there more we can do, and are there efficiencies that we can find?
There are always things that we can do to have all of our organizations work better. It's almost like we have so many people that really do want to do the right thing, and we need to keep from stepping all over each other's feet to do it. And I think there was probably, when the Gartner Report came out, and it did identify that there was conflict between so many of our groups that do want to help New Hanover County, that I think when it's pointed out in a report like that, it kind of definitely brings it it boils up to the top, and I think it makes people more aware that they do really, really need to work together.
And that leads right into another observation made by the Gartner Report, which was the dearth of true leadership. What do you think about that conclusion? Do you think the county is missing real leadership, and how does it need to cultivate that, if so?
Well, I think you don't have to look very far around the state and the country, for that matter, to know that there is a need for good leaders at all areas. And I think the biggest challenge to being a good leader is knowing that you cannot please all the people all the time. It's just not feasible to try to do that. But good leadership is about listening to people's concerns, having two ears and one mouth, and working together, cooperation, and being able to make tough, hard choices whenever that happens. So I think we all realize that there's room for improvement in that area.
We have an email from James asking about your view on HB2, which is losing the state money. Now, of course, this is a controversial state law that would have nothing to do from a policy standpoint with the county commissioners. But certainly the New Hanover County Commission has weighed in on other state issues, such as the loss of film incentives and passed resolutions along those lines. How do you feel about HB2?
Well, for one thing, I think discrimination in any form is wrong. It's been my observation, and it's my opinion, that a lot of legislation gets passed too quickly without proper vetting and consideration. I think that's one of the issues that happened here. When things that have such an impact on so many people's lives come before our elected officials, I think it's their responsibility to look as deep as they possibly can and to evaluate the consequences of the decisions that they make. You know, decisions like that do have unintended consequences, and HB2 is a perfect example of that. I think it probably should have been thought out more carefully and thoughtfully whenever they were in the process of doing this. Again, that I don't think there was a hurry that it ended up being passed in. And I believe after the election, after the next 53 days, is it now, that there will be some reconsideration done on that to provide some balance between privacy and personal rights.
Patricia Kusek, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to our Coastline Candidate Interviews on 91.3 FM. You still have a few minutes left to get your question in. This is Coastline. You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Today, we're meeting the three Republican candidates for New Hanover County's Board of Commissioners. Joining us now is Dr. Derek Hickey, a practicing orthopedic surgeon in Wilmington. He has served on the New Hanover County Board of Education. He's a past president of the New Hanover Pender Medical Society and the Wilmington South Rotary Club, and he served on the New Hanover County Parks and Recreation Board. Derek Hickey, welcome to Coastline.
Well, thank you. Thank you for doing this.
If you have a question for Derek Hickey, now is the time to get that in. The number to call is 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Derek Hickey, hands down, the questions that we're hearing from listeners seem to almost exclusively center around the special use permit. And this is something that has been under discussion a great deal in the county. The planning board recently met, went over several versions of the special use permit, and ended their meeting with, "We can't recommend any version to the Board of Commissioners at this point." What's your view of the SUP? Does it need to go away? Is it a block to business, or is it something that just needs to be modified and clarified?
Well, I think the SUP plays an important role for our citizens in this county. I think I differ in this regard from my two other Republican candidates who both have stated they wish to get rid of the SUP. But I believe it's important. We need to balance business interest and growth with protection of our environment. And, you know, I would actually like to see a more robust SUP that provides greater clarity both for the businesses as well as for the citizens of New Hanover County.
What does it mean to you when people talk about putting out the welcome mat, saying that New Hanover County is open for business? How does this county need to grow from a business development perspective?
Well, growth is good, okay? But growth cannot be allowed to compromise quality of life. You know, I'm a staunch proponent of property rights. And I believe you should be allowed to do what you want on your own property. But your property rights end at your property line. And just what I do on my property shouldn't be allowed to ruin my neighbor's property. And so I think we need to balance. We need to bring in businesses to this community, diverse businesses that have good, high-paying jobs. But we can't do that at the expense of our environment or our quality of life, the reason that most of us have come to live in New Hanover County.
So how would you do that? Are incentives one of the tools in the toolbox?
Well, I think the way to really incentivize business is not to pick winners and losers by giving government money to your friends, but rather to fight crime, to have a great public school system and community college system and university system. And to bring the kind of jobs into the community that the community actually wants.
How do you fight crime?
Well, there's three ways to fight crime. The first is outreach. We have a major gang violence issue. It starts in the schools. You know, one of the reasons I'm running for county commission is because, I'm really interested in children and in children's development. And I was frustrated on the school board because, as you're aware, the county commission is the taxing authority for the school board. So there's so many things the school systems could do if they actually had the resources. So one of the things that people talk about in terms of outreach is having, you know, quality after-school programs for children in the inner city. Currently, that doesn't exist. So first is outreach, and we need to partner with things like communities and schools, One Love Tennis organizations in that regard. The second is enforcement. You know, up until this year, the sheriff hasn't really been reasonably funded. Finally, we're starting to fund a gang task force and an opioid task force. And lastly is empowerment. We need to give these kids hopes of a better future. People turn to crime and gang violence when they don't see themselves being able to get good jobs. And I think it's important that we support, you know, new initiatives like the initiative where, the high school where you'll, get a community college diploma.
You're talking about the career and technical.
That's right, the CTE school. I couldn't come up with the term. Yes, but I think that's important. So again, a three-pronged effort of outreach, enforcement, and then in youth empowerment.
You're listening to Coastline's Candidate Interviews. Today we're meeting the Republican candidates for New Hanover County's Board of Commissioners. Right now we're talking with Derek Hickey, an orthopedic surgeon and prior member of New Hanover County's Board of Education. He is seeking his first term on the commission, and we're taking your questions. The phone lines are open at 910-343-1138, and you can email us today at coastline@whqr.org. And we had a non-SUP question from James, who wrote in earlier, and we asked Patricia Kusek about this. What is your view on HB2, which is losing the state money? And this is obviously a state law. It's a state issue. But in the past, the New Hanover County Commission has taken positions on state laws, the film incentives being one of those. Where do you stand on HB2, and what do you think should happen with that?
Well, I think first off, you have to be compassionate towards everyone. We talked about them, an orthopedic surgeon. What you didn't mention is I went to medical school at the University of California in San Francisco. I trained in San Francisco at San Francisco General Hospital during the AIDS epidemic in the early 90s, when AIDS was essentially a fatal illness, and we didn't have drugs really to fight it. And I took care of many people who were, you know, gay, bisexual, and transgender. And many of these were great, loving, caring people. So we need not stigmatize these people. I've been disappointed with how all the political leaders in North Carolina have treated this transgender bathroom issue. When I speak to family and friends, I don't think anyone is actually concerned about transgender people using bathrooms that correspond to their gender identity. I don't know of any episode where any transgender person in the state of North Carolina or anywhere else has ever been accused of doing something untoward in a bathroom. I think all of this legislation has been somewhat of a political football, very confusing, very polarizing. But at the same point, I do think that, you know, women don't want men going into their bathrooms. And I think that applies to transgender people, too. I don't think that transgender people who feel that they're women really want men going into their bathrooms. And certainly when it comes to children, as a father of two children, you know, I don't want men going into the women's room with my daughter. So I think it's a difficult issue, but I think we need to deal with compassionately and not make this a politically polarizing issue.
There has been, speaking of political polarization, a noticeable level of division on the Board of Commissioners over the last several years. Some might simply call it the difference between Republican and Democratic principles. But despite those embedded differences, if you go back earlier, we didn't see that level of divisiveness on the board. This appears to be a new phenomenon. If you were elected, and let's say you were elected and there was a Democratic majority on the board, how would you work with those who are not part of your political party?
Yes. Well, I can work with anyone, regardless of differences in opinions and views, who is looking out for the best interests of the citizens of New Hanover County. You know, you may have noticed this in the primary, but I, unlike my other two Republicans, I'm not establishment Republican. Again, I have different views on the special use permit as a prime example.
Just to be clear, Woody White and Patricia Kusak today in earlier interviews did say doing away with it may not be the answer and it may need some clarification.
Well, just to be clear, during the Republican primary, Patricia held up a red welcome sign and said that we needed to get rid of the special use permit. So I understand people change and try to tack towards the middle. But the reality is I think I could work with Republicans or with Democrats because, you know, I'm running to represent the average person in New Hanover County that wants their government to work for them, to provide a nice place to live. People who just want to go to work and come home and spend the weekends with their children and really don't want to delve into the little intricacies of government. I want to represent the average person. And so I don't see myself necessarily as a Republican or as a Democrat. I see myself as a citizen of this county who wants to represent everyone.
So then what makes you a Republican?
Well, I'm a fiscal conservative. I think that, and I guess in some respects, social and in the respect that I believe people should be responsible for their actions and that they should be held accountable, that everyone should work to their potential. I believe in individual merit and meritocracy.
So let's talk about the fiscal conservatism piece of that then. There was a budget passed in June that contained a tax increase. Woody White, for one, was very vocal about his opposition to that budget. As county staff explained it at various points, the tax increase was really to handle old debt going back as far as 10 years. Is there anything in this past county budget that you would have cut, that you would have said, no, as a fiscal conservative, we really don't need to have this in it? How would your fiscal conservatism play out on the board?
Yes. Well, as a perfect example, and I was quite critical of the KFIR Public Utility Authority during the primary. I believe since our water and sewer has been transferred to this, you know, third-party governmental agency, that the citizens of New Hanover County are paying at least twice for water and sewer. We've paid increasing rates every single year, increased system development charges, you know, essentially bankrupting hardworking people in neighborhoods like Heritage Park. While at the same time, you know, the KFIR Public Utility Authority is making record profits and sitting on, I don't have the exact figure, but somewhere on the order of $60 million. Now, if you look in the county, the current county budget, the county just spent over $2 million to design permits and get right-of-way access for water and sewer up the 421 corridor.
Which was identified in the Gardner Report as one of the most important pieces for developing that infrastructure.
Correct. So I think we need water and sewer up there. But $2.1 million a county has spent on the permitting process. And they've also allocated, which they plan on borrowing, an additional $14-plus million to put water and sewer up there. Now, I guess I wonder why the Cape Fear Public Utility Authority shouldn't be responsible for putting water and sewer, since they're in charge of water and sewer, and all the money they've received is from the taxpayers. I think we need to look at these issues. I mean, right there, $16 million. That's more than cutting, you know, a couple of thousand dollars here or a couple of thousand dollars there.
We have a question from Carolyn. She asks, how will the water and sewer be expanded to accommodate all of the new developments on River Road? None of the developments are affordable, and the apartment developments I see going up on Carolina Beach Road and adjacent areas have the word luxury somewhere in their advertisements. Where are the people in the service industry supposed to live?
Yes, and that's been an identified problem, affordable housing. And I think, you know, and I know you know about this, and hopefully Carolyn has heard about this, the city and county have actually partnered to look at best practices for affordable housing. You know, I think it really is an issue, and that goes back to jobs, too. One of the big problems in this county is we talk about the unemployment rate has gone down, but most of the jobs that have been created have been low-paying service sector jobs. And she's right. You can't work a low-paying service sector job and live in this beautiful community that we live in. So I think the way to approach this is, again, by getting better jobs into the community and also, as she pointed out, looking for best practices for affordable housing.
Sarah from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air. Make it quick. We have a minute left, and my technical director is going to go nuts. Go ahead.
As a physician, what is your position on the opioid crisis here in Wilmington, and especially what are you going to do to help end that in the schools?
Thank you so much, Sarah. Perfect.
Yes, it's a huge problem. I mean, I'll tell you that, you know, I'm an orthopedic surgeon with a subspecialty in hand and upper extremity surgery, and, you know, hardly a month goes by when I'm on call that I'm not called on to treat one of these people with abscesses and other medical problems from opioid addiction. And I think, you know, it goes back to education. It goes back to enforcement. Part of this is because we live near a port. And lastly, treatment. And along those lines, I'd like to see our medical center start partnering with long-term drug and alcohol treatment facilities.
That's it. That's all the time we have. That's this edition of Coastline Candidate Interviews. Derek Hickey, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks also to Patricia Kusak and Woody White. Remember, one-stop voting begins October 20th. October 14th is the deadline to register to vote in the November 8th election. Coastline's executive producer is Cleve Callison. Producer is Isabel Shepherd. Technical director is Ken Campbell. If you missed part of this episode, look for it on Friday at WHQR.org or get the podcast from the iTunes store. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.